From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. On Monday, the Senate passed a bill that would authorize states to collect taxes from internet vendors that gross more than $1 million a year. The bill now heads to the House. It's been a long sales tax holiday for most of the web, while internet retail sales have grown to $226 billion a year. Now that party may be ending. Brick-and-mortar retailers say internet vendors should not get a pass. Small online vendors say tracking sales tax for so many states will overwhelm them. And then there's the shoppers. This hour on Point, the sales tax and the internet. You can join us on air or online where this conversation never ends. Is it time for the internet as a tax-free haven to end? Is it only fair that online retailers collect taxes? Will paying taxes plus shipping move you back offline? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's a little sort of a quick trip through the Senate debate that led to the final vote. Here was Dick Durbin of Illinois on Sunday saying it's only fair that internet sellers say the same as the shop on the corner.
What we are asking in this bill is that those selling on the internet be treated just the same as those selling on the corners of our streets.
Some Republicans said no, no new taxes. Here's Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
More taxes will hurt economic growth. And this bill, if enacted, would in effect create a national internet sales tax.
Other Republicans saying, come on, just pay it. You should be paying it. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee on Monday arguing that way.
It's a tax that's already owed. It's not a tax on the internet. It's a tax that some people are paying and other people aren't, even though they owe it.
Democratic Senator Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire, there's more red tape.
What this legislation does is put in place red tape that's going to put small companies that sell online at a severe disadvantage, making it harder for them to compete with large online retailers.
And here came the vote. On Monday, on Capitol Hill in the Senate, here's Democratic Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly announcing passage of the internet sales tax bill.
The yeas are 69, the nays are 27. The bill, as amended, is agreed to.
Now off it goes to the House. Joining me first today from Washington is John McKinnon. He's been covering the debate over the sales tax and the internet for the Wall Street Journal. John, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Hi, Tom.
So was this clearly coming? Was it any surprise that it went through? Is it going to change the profile of big time of sales on the web?
I think this was a pretty big surprise given how long this fight has been going on unsuccessfully. This bill has been in existence in one form or another for many, many years and has always gotten bottled up in committee. So suddenly for this bill to appear on the floor and attract this many votes, 69 out of 100 is a pretty remarkable turnaround. Now, whether it's going to go anywhere and become law and change the way that we do business on the web and elsewhere, that remains to be seen.
Because what? There's staunch opposition in the House?
There is. And there's rising opposition, I would say, from the movement conservatives that have a lot of influence on the way the Republican majority in the House thinks and behaves. So, and there's some you know, substantial opposition as well from online-only retailers, and they are beginning to mount their own effort.
Movement conservatives in the House, as in those who don't want any kind of new tax whatsoever.
That's right. Many of them say, well, this is just a new tax, even though the supporters of this legislation claim that it's just enforcing a tax that already exists. And they say that, you know, it quacks like a tax, it walks like a tax, it's a tax. And so they, just on that basis alone, are going to oppose it. But they also say that it opens the door for all kinds of new taxes on services, on financial services. It opens the door for a federal sales tax. So they have, you know, lots of tax-related arguments against it.
John, explain what the status quo has been when it's come to collecting sales tax on online sales and how this legislation, if it would go through the House, would change it.
Sure. Basically, since 1992, when a Supreme Court decision came out that very substantially limited states' abilities to collect sales tax from out-of-state vendors, there's been this explosion in growth among online retailers that are basically taking advantage of that that tax situation. They're able to sell into a state that has a sales tax, yet not collect the sales tax and impose it on the buyer. Now, it's still the buyer's obligation to pay use tax, usually. Use tax is kind of the mirror image of a sales tax. If a sales tax is not collected by the seller, then the buyer is supposed to pay a use tax. But in practice, very, very few buyers are paying that use tax. And states, to be honest, aren't really being that aggressive about trying to collect the use tax.
Have there been some states collecting sales taxes on internet sales already? How many?
Yeah, there are certainly scattered efforts. There are a handful of states, I would say, that have passed legislation recently that basically attempts to override the 1992 U.S. Supreme Court decision. And, you know, some of those laws are meeting with success. Others have been sort of bottled up and stymied in the courts, in the state courts. And so there's a very much a uncertain situation about those state laws.
Internet retail sales, as you say, have exploded from zero by definition at one point to almost $250 billion now. How important do people think the tax-free status of internet sales has been in that growth, John?
You know, that's an interesting question, and it's really hard to answer. Even among online retailers, you would think there would be something like a consensus about how important that is, but many online retailers say that this, particularly I'd say mid-size retailers, say that this legislation would basically wipe out their profit margins and, you know, drive them out of business. But, you know, other retailers are sort of already beginning to adjust to what they see as an inevitability. I think they think that eventually Congress will agree to something that will require them to begin to collect this tax. And so there's, you know, certainly Amazon has begun to build that into their business model to some degree. Amazon wants to move to quicker delivery, maybe even, you know, same day delivery in a lot of circumstances. That's requiring them to build a lot more warehouses and other plants around the country, and that in turn is triggering that their sales tax obligation, because once they have a presence in a state, then they are required to start collecting the tax.
So interestingly, Amazon is lobbying for this sales tax on the web,
right?
Because they're going to be almost everywhere, I guess they're thinking, anyway. So they might as well have it. What about what's been the hit to state revenues, city and local revenues, of these sales going on without sales taxes in a time when budgets have been pretty tightly squeezed? Are there good estimates of how much that's cost cities and states?
I think $20 billion a year is a pretty reasonable estimate for how much money the states and local governments are losing. That's the number that you hear from people like the National Governors Association, and that seems like a pretty credible estimate. That's a huge amount of money. Unfortunately, it's also true that it's not really going to, you know, be the panacea for state and local governments' budget problems. Their problems are unfortunately even deeper than that in many cases.
Walmart, Target, other big brick and mortar retailers, big box stores, and more. Obviously, I guess for this, does that mean that they're brick and mortar for the long term? That they're not going to try and flee to the web to escape this? They want everybody to pay it.
That's right. Obviously, many of those stores have developed much bigger online presences in the last few years, and partly that's been an effort to combat the showrooming that's been going on. Sometimes they offer better deals on the web than they do in the showrooms, just to try to compete with Amazon. So, you know, it's interesting the way that Amazon is becoming more like a big box retailer, and big box retailers are becoming more like Amazon. So there is a convergence happening, but it's not it's not something that's going to make the big box retailers want to try to emulate, try to become online retailers and not collect the tax.
We're hearing a lot about the burden of this on smaller online sellers. Now, how do you judge that? You know, because the answer comes back, well, there's software that will handle all this for you. It's not a big burden. Is it a burden or not to pay tax in all these states, 45 after you take out those that don't collect sales taxes?
I think that the issue of figuring out how much tax you're supposed to collect is not that hard to do. I think there is, you know, software that is readily available and soon will be even better that helps people figure out, all right, this is the zip code and this is the tax rate for that zip code. I don't think that's really the problem, the biggest problem. The bigger problems are, I think, figuring out how to categorize items and how to figure out the tax on things like shipping costs, because states have very different, you know, methods of taxing the shipping cost that an online retailer is going to impose. So that's a problem. And then, you know, these online retailers still face the possibility of multiple audits. So I think they're really worried about getting audited by 45 or 46 different states and just essentially being plunged into a bureaucratic nightmare that they don't see any way of emerging from.
That would get your attention in a hurry. John McKinnon with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for introducing us to the lay of the land here, John. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the sales tax and the internet. The Senate has green-lighted state sales taxes on the web. Now it goes to the House. We're looking at what it means for you, for state coffers, for internet business. In the debate on Monday, again, Democratic Senator Richard Durbin said, look, you really should be paying it already. What's the big deal?
This bill contains no new federal tax, no new state and local tax. What it does is collect taxes already owed
on those who are selling more than $1 million. But the CEO of eBay saying what in April at the Fortune Brainstorm Green Conference, interviewed here by Adam Leshinsky, this is John Donahoe saying, look, this is going to be a problem for a lot of our sellers on eBay.
We're not against the internet sales tax. And internet sales tax has to work. But what we believe is that the burden that's going to be put on the smallest businesses is going to disadvantage them. And in particular, the fact that state jurisdictions, state taxing bodies can mandate, can legislate, can audit the smallest businesses. They don't have the ability to respond to that.
Let's talk to one of those right now. Ann Wood joins us from Dallas, Texas, founder and owner of Willowware. It's an online eBay luxury consignment business with about $800,000 in gross annual sales. Her online store is happy to sell you designer handbags and shoes and clothing. Ann Wood, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
So here I'm looking. You've got Prada and Gucci and Louis Vuitton and what? People who have these products, they've used them, but they don't want them anymore. They ship them to you and you sell them?
Yes, I have clients here in Dallas and all around the country and even a few around the world that bring me items and I sell them for them on a consignment basis.
How's business, Ann? Sounds like it's pretty decent. How's it going?
It's super. It just keeps growing. I've gradually built this business. You know, 2010, I grossed around $400,000. In 2012, I grossed around $800,000. I'm on track to hit $1 million, and I'm very, very worried about this sales tax.
So you're exactly the kind of eBay seller that John Donahoe is worried about, the CEO at eBay.
Yes.
Now, currently, do you collect or pay out any sales taxes, Ann, or not?
Yes, because I live in Texas. I remit sales tax whenever I sell to a Texas buyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm experienced in doing that now. I have to file quarterly, and it takes me about, you know, now that I've got the process down, it takes me about 2 hours to do that every 3 months. But I've calculated that if I have to do this in 45 tax-collecting states, and even if there's, and just assuming there's one rate per state, which is I don't assume is going to happen.
Of course not, yeah.
Much more complicated.
Yeah.
That it will cost me 45 business days a year, about 6 weeks a year, in complying with sales tax remittance.
So you're talking about going from 8 hours a year on this to 45 days a year. That's pretty gigantic. And you're a former attorney. I mean, it's not like you're not accustomed to dealing with complicated regulations and language and all that.
Right. All right. It's just an incredible burden. It just doesn't make sense. I don't agree that the sales tax should be collected to begin with. I don't reside in those states. I don't avail myself of the services of those states. I can't hold the politicians in those states accountable. It would be taxation without representation. But even if the sales tax issue passes, this $1 million exemption is woefully inadequate.
Now, we've got five states that don't collect sales taxes: Alaska, Delaware, New Hampshire, Oregon, Montana. You can take those off the table, but that still leaves a lot. Part of the argument has been, and that, look, there are these great software packages out there. Just plug them into your operation. They'll essentially take care of it for you. What are you crying about?
Tom, over the years, I've experienced many software promises. They often don't materialize. I just don't believe that there's some way that I'm going to push some button and all of a sudden my sales tax is going to be remitted in all those states. And even if I could, the audit and compliance issue is huge for me. Every day for me in business is a race against time to try to get things done, to take care of my family, to list things for my clients.
Sure.
And I don't have time to respond to audit letters from all these jurisdictions.
What about the argument, Anne, that, come on, sales tax is kind of baked into the cake of how our country works in overwhelming majority of states, has been for a long time. The Internet has been bleeding revenues away from state governments somewhere that need them to keep everything working. And it's not fair to your brick-and-mortar competitors that, they're paying sales tax and you're not.
Okay, first of all, when they pay sales tax, they're only dealing with one state, the state in which they reside. They're not being asked to handle 45 states.
True, but neither do they get to sell to the whole world, and
well,
you do.
Well, no, but the deal is, the idea that I'm hurting a brick-and-mortar retailer or that the Internet retailer is most brick-and-mortar retailers now have some kind of online presence. I mean, you should be doing that in today's
mm-hmm.
business.
Yeah.
No. Each kind of retailer has its own advantage, and I can tell you that I have never in my, 14,000 transactions on eBay had a buyer tell me that she was buying from me in order to avoid sales tax, because, of course, there's a shipping cost. And so whether or not I order, I offer free shipping, I'm building that shipping cost into the price of my item. So I think that the shipping issue cancels out the sales tax in terms of the buyer's behavior.
But in terms of our overall community here, that's between you and that buyer getting the product to them. What about the little ding of tax that helps pay for everything that keeps the economy moving?
Well, I think the Supreme Court got it right in 1992 in Quill, when they required a nexus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be based on residence and not on, someplace, I'm in Dallas and,
yep.
and Massachusetts or Vermont, or I don't have any business collecting sales tax in those states.
So you're grossing around $800,000 already here. You're bumping right up against, assume soon, that $1 million line that
right.
the Senate drew here. If this should go through as drafted now, and you would pay when you go over $1 million, what are you going to do? Are you going to rein in your Kate Spade and Louis Vuitton and Chanel go fishing 2 days a week to keep from hitting that? Or what are you going to do?
I'm going to take a really hard look at that. I'm a near one-woman operation. I have a little bit of part-time help. I don't want to grow my business just to have to hire somebody to, just handle this. That's not a way that I can grow my business. So I have to figure out a way. I don't know how I'll figure out a way to handle this. I may just need to find a new gig because this audit and compliance issue is going to be devastating.
Ann Wood, owner, founder of Willowware out of Dallas, Texas, bumping up against the line that the Senate has now drawn. Ann, good luck to you. Appreciate you spending a couple of minutes with us today.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Let's go to some big advocates, pro and con here. Steve Del Bianco is with us right now, executive director of NetChoice. It's a trade association of e-commerce businesses, including eBay, against Internet sales tax as laid out by the Senate. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hey, hi, Tom.
And with us today from Washington, Jason Brewer, Vice President of Retail Industry Leaders Association. Members include Walmart, Kmart. They're for it. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having us.
So, Jason, you just heard Ann Wood there in Dallas, Texas. She's got her consignment shop on eBay. She's right up against this million-dollar deal. She thinks that this would be onerous. She'd go from spending 8 hours a year on paying sales taxes to spending 6 weeks a year working on it. You can see why she would fear that if that's the way she judges it. Jason, what do you say to Ann Wood?
Well, a few of the things she brought up are just red herrings. The first thing I would point her to is eBay's own website, where they promote a software called Avalara, when they say that it's a quick, easy, inexpensive way to track and remit your sales tax. So these programs are actually available today, and more will be obviously available if this passes into law. So I think the argument that this is a giant compliance burden is just inaccurate, because the software does exist for those that choose to use it. On the audit side of it, what I would say is that this legislation has built into it audit protections. The states, if they choose to compel remote sellers to collect, would have to provide certified software, and any business owner using that software would be held harmless if a mistake was made, because the state's providing it. So there are protections already built in. As this bill goes to the House, I think we're going to talk more about that. And if there are things that can be done to, reassure people that audit protections are there, I think we can do that. But, some of these arguments are red herrings that really aren't part of the bill. The bill does protect true small businesses, true small startups, does provide audit protection, and the software does exist to make this fairly easy. And let's be clear, there are tons of businesses on Main Street that are small businesses, many of whom also sell online, and they want to see this problem solved, because they know that in a free market, you've got to treat all sellers equally. And right now, they do have a problem when a customer comes in and kicks tires on the merchandise and then says, you know what, I can save 5, 6, 7, as high as 10% in sales tax if I go online. Mm-hmm. There's nothing the small business owner can do about that. And so we think this is a basic matter of fairness. Retailers don't enjoy collecting sales tax. None of us, are overjoyed every day when we have to collect the sales tax. But it's a part of doing business. And so all we're asking is treat all businesses equally. Give us a level playing field on which to compete, and let all businesses compete on price.
Steve Dobianco, you represent e-commerce businesses, online sellers. What about the compliance burden issue, first of all? And then this bigger question, which is the primary one put forward here, which is fairness. If brick-and-mortar people are going to be paying sales tax, online should too. Compliance and fairness. What do you say, Steve?
Tom, your listeners must be wondering what they're missing out on, because you keep saying things like internet exemption or online tax-free. Because, frankly, 9 out of the top 10 e-retailers, they already collect for every single state with a sales tax. And that includes Walmart.com and Target.com.
For every
they already collect.
Mm-hmm. So what's
for
the
every
big deal?
With a sales tax. And Amazon already collects for over half of the U.S. population for reasons you and John gave earlier in the show.
Yep.
So once a company like that already has to collect for all the states, well, then they'd love to impose brand new collection burdens on their smaller competitors. That's why it's so ironic to talk about this bill helping Main Street, when we in fact have the backers of the bill are the big companies that have devastated Main Street.
Big box
Walmarts
stores.
And Targets of the world, exactly. Mm-hmm. So since they've already got to collect and bear those burdens, and they've got armies of accountants, lawyers, and systems programmers, this bill represents a way for them to crush the guys in the middle. I think, Tom, about a company that you started a couple of decades ago called Home Portfolio.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous business. It's a place I could buy an artisan special little bit of lighting for my kids' room. And it might come from a small manufacturer who'd never be able to get into Walmart's supply chain. But that manufacturer can put something up on Home Portfolio, and I can buy it. And as you know, Home Portfolio already collects sales tax, just like every other store in Massachusetts. They collect for everything they sell to Massachusetts customers.
Now, way back when I was doing it, well, we didn't do online sales back in the day, so the world has changed a bit since then. But what about this issue of compliance, Steve, for the smaller online seller? And what about the issue of fairness? Jason says, look, the small guy on the street has to pay. Why not the small guy online?
Yeah, great point about compliance. I've made my living building software for companies like Home Portfolio. And I can tell you that the states themselves are only obligated in this legislation to hand over a little piece of software for each of the 46 states. But the cost of binding that in to the software that the retailers are using is all falling on the local business. There's no such thing as plug-and-play software when you have a merchant like Home Portfolio that's got their own ordering and fulfillment, accounting system, the back office to do adjustments for exchanges and returns and handling those audits from 46 different states. So I know that there's no such thing as sort of free software. Even if the states gave me something, it's like giving me a puppy. I've got to pay to take care of it, to wire it into my systems, and to maintain changes that go forward.
But so do brick-and-mortar sellers. So what about the fairness issue there? I mean,
That's great tee-up, because just like brick-and-mortar, every single online and catalog seller already does collect and remit tax for the states where they are located. So if level playing field is what we're after, today it's level. All merchants, online, offline, and catalog, all collect and remit tax for the one place or two places where they have stores. This bill turns it completely upside down. Brick and mortar still collects just for the place it's located, but every catalog and online would have to collect for 46 states, 10,000 different tax rates and rules, and face 46 audits. That's not moving to a level playing field, Tom.
Well, I guess people would say, yes, they might have to do that, but they have the pleasure of selling in all those markets as well, which is a kind of advantage. Steve, stand by there, and Jason as well. Let's get our listeners in. Ray Linda in Somerville, Massachusetts. Ray Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I love your show. I think I represent one of the very small businesses. I have my own jewelry business.
Okay.
And for the past 20 years, I've had the experience of selling in various different states. I sell my jewelry in 5 states. I travel around. But, for example, before I could sell my jewelry in New Jersey, I had to contact the New Jersey tax department and get a license to sell there. And once I did that, I was on their books. So I now have to file taxes in New Jersey. Whether or not I go there, I have to file zero.
So do you sell online as well, Ray Linda? Are you concerned about this legislation, or you're a physical seller even though itinerant? You move.
Well, I do sell online, not as much as in person. But my point is that for every state that I sell in, I have to do the paperwork, and then I have to continuously file with that state. And if, you know, for example, if somebody were to go to my Etsy page and I see on their zip code they live in Dakota, does that mean before I can sell them something, I have to contact the Dakota sales tax department and get a license to sell there? And then forevermore, you know, be required to file zero if I don't sell, or however much I sell?
I think so, but let's see. Jason, what's the word to Ray Linda? You know, she's got a little operation. It looks onerous to her.
No, in this instance, a remote seller would not have to register with any state. A remote sale, all you would simply be doing is collecting and remitting the appropriate sales tax on behalf of the customer that you sold to. So there wouldn't be any need to register as a business entity in a state.
But she would have to know the sales tax there and make sure that it got paid.
Sure. But again, you know, software makes that readily available. Your iPhone could determine based on an address what the appropriate sales tax is. So it's not something that is terribly difficult with today's technology.
But Steve? Tom, the first time that Ray Linda files, whether she uses software from the states or does it on her own, the first time she files, well, she's registered. And she'll be on the hook to file monthly and quarterly returns in every one of those jurisdictions. One answer for Ray Linda is to simply move her store from being her own website to joining a platform like Walmart, Amazon, or eBay. See, if she moves to the platform, everything changes, and I'd love to take that up after the break.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the sales tax and the Internet. The Senate greenlights state sales taxes on the web. Now it goes to the House. We're looking at what it means for you, for state and local, some local coffers, for Internet business, for brick and mortar. Steve Del Bianco is with us, Executive Director at NetChoice. It's a trade association of e-commerce businesses, including eBay. They say no thanks. Jason Brewer is with us, Vice President of Retail Industry Leaders Association. Members include Walmart, Kmart, and more. They say, okay, let's have it. Steve and Jason join us from Washington, and we've got a lot of response online here. Jeffrey says, fine by me, no reason an online transaction should be treated differently than a brick-and-mortar transaction. Here's another listener says, hey, well, no, thank you. This is just a setup for federal sales taxes. Jason, what about those who look at this and see the beginnings of a federal sales tax coming on?
This has nothing to do with any sort of federal sales tax. This really does is give power back to the states to control their own sales tax codes again. So this is a states' rights type of bill. It has nothing to do with collecting any sort of national sales tax. We would be opposed to that, actually. So,
and Steve, what about our Jeffrey who says, sure, you know, I pay it in the brick and mortar store. Why shouldn't I pay it online? Let's do it.
And Jeffrey knows that he does pay when he buys online from anybody with a physical presence in his state. And most e-commerce is taxed everywhere. This opens not the door for new federal taxes, Tom, but think about what it does to build great new powers to every single state tax auditor. See, today they have to stop at their border. They can't chase people that don't have a physical presence in their state. This changes all that. It wipes away constitutional and Supreme Court protections for interstate commerce and lets auditors reach across into any given state.
But isn't that a natural follow-on to the fact that the Internet has wiped away borders? I mean, that's, you know, the Internet changed borders itself.
And if I put up a website or a catalog, and the fact that people can find me means that they are able to get better deals than having to go just one place to buy everything. Tom, look at Main Street USA today. It's really changed in the last 20 years. There's big box retail, and there's only a handful of small retailers left. A lot of bars and dry cleaners, though. Well, the Internet ends up looking like that if this bill becomes law. And here's why. Ray Linda called earlier about her jewelry. Well, the only way she's going to be able to comply is to move her store to a platform. And if she moves to eBay, Amazon, or even to Walmart's store platform, the Internet starts to look a little like Main Street.
So you're saying it's a small startup play. Store. Yeah, rubs well, up the small stuff.
Sure, the big boxes are spending tens of millions of dollars lobbying for a bill and claiming it's about fairness.
What if it goes frankly, the other way? We've got a listener here, Steve Krieger, says, you know, if it's that negative a selling point, a sales tax, he wonders if this would spur a boom in micro sellers who would sell less than $1 million under the Senate bill that would bring them into the sales tax target, Steve.
I think that's possible, but that's not really why people shop online. I mean, this notion that the Internet is creating growth because of taxes has been disproven time and again. Just last year, Amazon went from collecting zero to suddenly collecting 8 or 10% sales tax in a state like California. Well, the fourth quarter of last year was Amazon's best quarter in California in history. Their sales never missed a beat when they started to collect sales tax. And we didn't hear California retailers claming they suddenly found new customers.
Tom, that's
because people don't shop online to avoid sales tax.
Is this a big bad big box play? Is that what this is, Jason, to roll over everybody who's small and, you know, get everyone on their platforms, own the world?
No, not at all. And I would take issue with the idea that not everybody buys online simply to avoid paying a sales tax. That's true in many instances. There are many reasons to shop online. And as has been mentioned, many of my companies also have online platforms as well. And so this isn't really about online versus brick and mortar. But I think if you talk to whether it's a big box store or a small business that sells a high value item, whether it's jewelry, camera, TV, you know, something that has a significant price tag, they are rife with stories, whether it's a store manager at Best Buy or a small business owner who owns his own appliance store. They will absolutely tell you about the customer that comes in, tries out the merchandise, asks a lot of questions, and it's called showrooming. And then it used to be that they went home and often purchased it online to avoid paying the sales tax. Today, they can do it from their iPhone in the store. And so, you know, every retailer is in the business of matching prices. And if the iPhone or the Internet is the new Sunday circular and allows consumers to match prices and find the best deal, we've got no issue with that whatsoever. But what no brick-and-mortar retailer can say to a customer is, you know, don't worry, I won't charge you that sales tax. They go to jail if they do that.
Let's hear from our listeners. Patrick in Des Moines. Stand by, Jason. Steve. Patrick, sure. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a small business owner of 4 years, just at $200,000, and we do have clients who purchase from New York to California. I collect sales tax for Polk County, which is where I'm resident, and I do that because my cops need to be paid and my streets need to be paved. I find the fact that there are people who choose not to collect the sales tax ridiculous. I think it's very un-American.
So, Patrick, what if your business goes like gangbusters, if I may, sorry, and pretty soon you're selling $1 million-plus a year, And now you have to collect sales taxes on those sales to buyers who are a long way from Polk County, Iowa. They're in New York or Santa Barbara, wherever. Is that okay with you, or how do you look at it?
Well, that's where I think the bill does overreach. My residence is in Polk County. That is where my business is. That's where I ship out of. If I have a residence or a store or a warehouse in New York, I should comply to there. It's more of a value-added tax. I mean, if you go to Hawaii, there's a lot more resources that you have to protect there versus Des Moines, Iowa. So I do think that the tax should be centralized to the location of the business, not so much to the state that you are selling to, but to the state that you're selling out of.
So willing to pay in your own backyard, not so crazy about paying all over the place. Let me hold that one, Patrick. I appreciate your call. One more here. Jeff in Augusta, Georgia. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a buyer. I've been buying on the net since it all began, and I run a small business, and I buy electronics online.
Yep.
And before the crash of 2009, there was never a sensitivity to the tax issue. It was always saving the customer, letting him buy and or me buying. And then after the crash, it just hit me because here in Georgia, the government's having, everything's having issues, you know, as far as with money. And I turned and started having my customers buy at the local stores. And I also still buy much electronics online because I can find a better price there. But I would be much more than happy to pay the 7% that then when I buy it relative to paying that, you know, are expecting me to pay that. And a lot of the stuff that I buy can be, back in the day when TVs were $2,000 and $3,000, it was a reasonable amount of money.
So you're saying, are you happy to have the sales tax online or not, Jeff?
I would like to see them collect, just like everything, I think you collect it up front, like Social Security and everything else. You collect it at the time of the sale, and then it alleviates, it pay, you know, it's the cost of doing business in America. You know, the cost of, like the gentleman before said, that we got streets, we got schools, we got, and that must be, it's already there, so it's not new, it's just... They figured out, and I work in the computer.
Figured out how to do it. Jeff, we got it, and I appreciate your call very much. Let me get one more. Gilbert in Lexington, Kentucky. Gilbert, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
This sales tax, I am totally against. I'm not a business person, but my wife does a lot of shopping online.
Yeah.
And this is the worst thing that's ever happened to us since the income tax.
Why? I mean, you pay sales tax at the local store. Why not online, Gilbert?
Sure. Now, many of these large businesses already have it set up where some of their accountants, I believe, has it, well, all I got to do is just add another little digit, and then I can collect the taxes and pay the government.
Yeah.
Now, the taxes that they're collecting, what happens when one state decides, well, I think we're going to have to up the Internet sales tax because we're not getting enough money from it. It's costing us. And as a retired firefighter, this is really eating into my pocket, believe me. Any senator that voted for this should be voted out of office.
So keep that nickel in your pocket. We hear it, Gilbert, loud and clear, and I appreciate your call. We heard earlier from Ann Wood, an online seller who's not for this coming on stream out of Dallas. We've got a congressman calling in right now from Washington who may be for it. Congressman Peter Welch represents Vermont's at-large congressional district. Congressman Welch, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Tom. It's good to be with you.
We're hearing arguments for and against. Where do you come down, Congressman?
Well, we need this. There's three things. Number one, our downtown retail brick-and-mortar establishments are really struggling, and they have a competitive disadvantage. You know, a lot of folks go in with their iPhones. They use the brick-and-mortar place as a showroom and then literally try to make the retailer eat the sales tax in order to make the purchase.
Yep.
And they're struggling. So we've got conservative Republicans like Steve Womack, who used to be a mayor, and is saying that we've got to help our retailers have a fighting chance. And a level playing field is the issue. It's not tilting it one way or the other.
What about our my guest Steve Del Bianco is saying that, look, this is going to advantage big box stores on the web the same way that they, you know, ate Main Street's lunch 20, 30 years ago. This is going to do the same thing to the web. Are you concerned about that, Congressman Welch?
Well, I'm not. I mean, you know, there's got to be competitive fairness. By the way, start with the proposition that this sales tax is actually an obligation that the consumer has, whether you purchase online or not. In a state that has a sales tax or a community, that is supposed to be paid by the consumer as a, quote, use tax in the event it's not collected. Now, none of us do that, and it's not collectible. That's why the point of sale, that earlier caller, had a very, very good point. And it's not a new tax, it's a due tax. And there's really three principles here. I think, one, you have to have a level playing field. If people are supposed to pay it, then whether you purchase online or brick and mortar, the same rules should apply. That's level playing field. Number two, other state rights issues. It's a very conservative proposition that if a state or a community has taxing authority and they assess a sales tax, the Congress should not interfere with that. And in effect, by allowing this to apply to the internet sales, we're respecting state
But the
rights.
Supreme Court said in 92, stay out of it.
No, what they said is that, and we are out of it. What we're doing in this legislation is allowing the states to collect it. I mean, there's no invasion by the federal government in this legislation of the taxing authority of a local municipality or a state. And then the third thing is that a lot of the states, and the reason why conservative governors like Governor McDowell of Virginia are supporting this, is that they're getting squeezed by the federal government. We're cutting back on revenues that we're sending to states and communities. We should not be interfering in the ability of states and communities to collect on taxes that they assess and decide in their local legislature.
Congressman, respond to this. Here's a listener online. NJ says, great, more regressive sales taxes for the lowly masses while corporations and the rich get tax breaks and subsidies and set up offshore shell operations to avoid tax liability entirely. You're just bringing a regressive hammer down on the little guy, NJ is saying.
Yeah, well, I agree with his broad point about how distorted our tax system is, and that if Congress were doing its job, we'd make it much more fair and frankly more progressive. So I agree with that point. But on the other hand, if you have a sales tax to provide services like for firefighters, by the way, your earlier caller was a firefighter. Our firefighters in Vermont support this because they know they need local revenues in order to do the job in the local community that we need them to do. But that point, yes, we need comprehensive tax reform, but we also need a level playing field. So if a sales tax is being assessed, and you're purchasing a pair of sneakers in your brick-and-mortar store or online, that tax should be paid, just a level playing field.
Congressman Peter Welch, at-large rep for Vermont. Thanks very much for calling, Congressman. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Let me get one more call right here, and I'll take it to Steve and Jason. Mark in Boston, you're on the air, Mark.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
First, let me say I agree with the vast majority of what all sides of your argument have had to say today.
You're very broad-minded.
Well, no, I think it's all right. My wife develops websites or designs websites for small businesses, so I very much sympathize with Ann Wood. And to me, it seems the biggest concern, which I hadn't thought of before today, is the compliance and audit issue. That would be a nightmare, regardless of how good your software is, and most of it isn't that good. My suggestion, and I'd just like to hear what people have to say about it, irrespective of whether this could pass politically, why isn't the bill structured to put the onus for the auditing, the tracking and auditing on the software developers so that the business person doesn't have to deal with 46 different states, but somebody who's going to put commercial software out there for websites does.
So TurboTax or whoever does it, they're going to be liable for the tax if they don't calculate it right? I mean, maybe nobody will want to write the software in that case, Mark.
Yeah, well, it is going to put a burden on the software developers, but they don't make there aren't really mom and pop software developers. You don't make any money by selling to, you know, 20 websites.
Yeah, let's pick it up. Hey, Steve, how about it? Put the onus on the software developer for compliance here, and if it's not there, they shell out.
Yeah, I wish it were that simple, because software alone doesn't answer legal inquiries from a state auditor. They'll push a button, and every business in America gets a demand letter to show that either they're qualified for the small business exception, or they've got to show that they're remitting taxes for every state. Things are tough on Main Street. They have been for decades, with the big box stores moving in and a recession over the last 5 years. And I think that Main Street feels frustrated, and they want to blame somebody. And they'd love to blame the internet, and in this case, blame sales taxes. But I'm sorry that that's just not going to make a difference. The only way you level the playing field is to force Amazon, Walmart, and everyone else to raise their prices. Then Main Street could compete, and that's not going to happen. Sales tax isn't what's killing Main Street.
Jason, what do you think, Jason? In the House, through the Senate, is it going to make the House? There's a lot of resistance, more resistance there from, as we heard at the top of the hour, from movement conservatives.
Well, I would say I do think it's going to get through the House. We've already got 60 co-sponsors today. I would like to point out, there are a number of movement conservatives that actually do support this because they recognize that in a free market, you can't have government with its thumb on the scale, giving one set of companies an advantage over another. So, you know, prominent groups like the American Conservative Union, Tea Party groups like American Majority and Let Freedom Ring are on board. And Art Laffer a few weeks ago wrote a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal that highlighted, you know, why there needed to be a level playing field for all retailers, that in a free market, you've got to treat everybody the same and let them duke it out on price.
Well, we will see later this year when the House turns to this boy. If they pass it as well and the president signs it, and I guess he's saying he would, watch out for an epic storm of online buying before that sales tax moves in. Jason Brewer with Retail Industry Leaders Association out of Washington. Thanks for joining us today, Jason.
Thanks, Tom.
And Steve DelBianco of NetChoice. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Hey, great, Tom.
Great to have you here. Tomorrow, Benghazi is back in the headlines after hearings today on Capitol Hill. We'll look at the facts and the factionalism. Benghazi. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.